So if you were to look on the average news feed, cable news network, something like that, what would they likely tell you is the greatest problem in the world today? You probably get all sorts of different answers, wouldn't you? Probably depends on which news feed you're watching and which cable news network. But, I mean, some would say our greatest problem in the world right now is politics. Some would say it's environmental. Some would say it's race relations. Some would say it's economic. Many would say it's medical. We've got lots of things, and all of those, there's validity to all of those, and people will rank them at different orders. But one thing you will not see on the cable news, and you probably won't see very much on your social media, unless you happen to be friends with a lot of Christians, is that the Bible answers that question, what is the most pressing problem in the world today, in a very, very different way than our world does. It actually points to a problem that is underneath all the others. Now, that doesn't invalidate all the other problems. It says actually there is a root problem that ends up causing all the rest of them and making all the rest of them worse. And one of the ways you could put that is like this. The number one problem in the world is that people are disconnected from God. People are disconnected from God. Would you agree with that? In other words, the prize creation, humanity, is disconnected from the Creator. Have you ever worked in an organization? You don't raise your hand on this one. I've worked in an organization where maybe the owners and middle management stop talking to each other, and we're no longer working together on the same page. How do things go for that organization, that workplace? Have you ever been in an environment where middle management, things were bad? Okay, no hands, you can just nod your head like, oh my gosh. So what would happen in an organization like that? You know, in Genesis 1 and 2, I mean, as humanity was created, they were given responsibility to rule over creation, to be stewards of the garden. We're not the owners, we're not the creator, but we've been given authority. And so even as we look at the world around us, and because people are disconnected from God, it results not only in pain to us as humans, but also the non-human creation as well. It's a mess. People are disconnected from God. It's the number one problem in the world. We've been using this phrase because throughout this series, just to help us remember from that perspective what the primary purpose of the church is. And I should say today we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you got your Bibles. I hope you do. Is the church, or that stores exist to serve customers, right? Schools exist to teach students, but churches exist to reconnect people with God. It's our primary purpose. One of the things we love about this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and in this series, we're spending about 6 weeks on six verses, and we're just going through them from different angles and perspectives and just going deep, reading them from different translations, just because the different translations from the original Greek help us to see different nuances of meaning. Today we're actually going to be reading from the New International Reader's Version. There's a version of the Bible that was written so that all the vocabulary used in it is supposed to be understandable to a 10-year-old or less. So I love it. It's fantastic. So if you want to, like, could there be a Bible that doesn't use any big confusing words? Yes, there is, and it's good, and it helps us to understand God's word better. Anyways, we're going on a deep dive in this because the unique way that this passage puts the primary mission of the church, you know, as it talks about what it means to be in ministry and in outreach and hospitality and in evangelism and discipleship and fellowship and all the different things that the church does, and it helps us to understand our mission as followers of Jesus more clearly because it puts all of this in a relational context. So we're just going to read the passage as a whole, again, from the this time from the New International Reader's Version, and then we're going to do a deep dive on verse 18. So let's read it all together. So starting with verse 16, then through verse 21. So from now on, we don't look at anyone the way the world does. At one time, we looked at Christ that way, but we don't anymore. When anyone lives in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. Can I get an amen? Anybody ever experienced that? The new life that comes through Christ. All this, verse 18, is from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ's death on the cross. And he has given us the task of bringing others back to him through Christ. God was bringing the world back to himself through Christ. He did not hold people's sins against them. God has trusted us with the message that people may be brought back to him. We are Christ's official messengers. Isn't that a great way to put it? Look at your neighbor. Do they look official? They are. Do you feel official today? You are. So we, if we believe God's word, if we're a follower of Christ, if we're trying to actually do the things that the scriptures teach us to do and follow the Savior, we are Christ's official messengers. It is as if God is making his appeal through us. This is what Christ wants us to beg you to do. Come back to God. Christ didn't have any sin, but God made him become sin for us so that we can be made right with God because of what Christ has done for us. So, let's do a deep dive on verse 18. All of this is from God. So, who's the one who works our reconnection with the Lord? Who's the primary mover? It's not you? Are you sure? Because I think of all the times you told yourself, when I just get my life together, then I will follow Jesus. So, but who's doing all the work? Who's it? Not you? You sure? Absolutely? Yeah. We have a hard time with that one, don't we? All this is from God. He brought us back to himself through Christ's death on the cross. And that's why I wanted to bring out this illustration. I know this one is simple, but I like simple illustrations, okay? Now, there's power plug, lamp cord. But there's a problem with this lamp cord, isn't there? What's the problem with the lamp cord? Can you see? What's the problem with the lamp cord? It's got a big chunk of Play-Doh on the end of the lamp cord. That's what it does. Big, squishy chunk of Play-Doh on the end of the lamp cord. So, let's say I wanted to plug the lamp in. How would it go? Is it going to work? Why? Because there's a piece of Play-Doh on the end of the plug, you moron. That's right. You can say that. That's what you were thinking in your head. I shouldn't use that word in church. I will try to refrain. But you think those. Anyways, there's a piece of Play-Doh on the end of the plug. So can we just, what if we just told this plug, get rid of the Play-Doh plug? If you were a good plug, you would know how to get rid of all your Play-Doh. I am disappointed in you. I mean, from all that we have invested in you from this fantastic yard sale find, you should have your life cleaned up by now. What's the problem what's the solution for this plug? Somebody needs to take the Play-Doh off the plug. And all this is from who? God. From God. All this is from God. He has brought us back to himself. Let's put that verse back up on the screen. All this is from God. who has brought us back to himself through Christ's death on the cross. Now, the big idea in Christianity, and I know you may have heard this before, I hope you've heard this before, is that, see, all of us, we've got Plato on our plug. We've got sin that separates us from God. We were designed for connection with God, but there's a problem, isn't there? We've got sin. We've got all the things, that rebellion in our heart, the times we wanted to go our own way. So whether that's pride, whether that's excessive willfulness, whatever it is, or fear, all of the stuff, all of the ways we rebel against God, all the ways we turn our backs on him, it keeps us from connecting, and there's nothing that we can do on our own. I don't care how many hours of Oprah we put this lamp in front of, it's not going to get the Play-Doh off the plug. We could put them in the self-help section at the local bookstore, and we could say, just read the whole thing, would you? But it's not going to get the Play-Doh off the plug. It requires intervention. That's Jesus. As Jesus died on the cross, now this is where the illustration falls down a little bit, because honestly, Plato is not that gross. But our sin sure is. And for you and for me and for us and for all humanity, Jesus bore all of our sin on himself as he died on the cross. When he said, it is finished, he meant it. And because our sin has been forgiven, redeemed, paid for by Jesus, amazing things can happen. You're ready? You're ready for this technological breakthrough? Here we go. Isn't that great? We were made for connection with God. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. I am the cord, you are the lamp. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do? Nothing. Nothing. And so if you think of the world as, and the people around us as hundreds and hundreds and thousands and millions and billions of lamps, all of them, all of us, every person who was ever born, who was ever thought of, who was ever a twinkle in their parents' eye, it's made for connection with God. And the greatest tragedy of the world is that for many, if not most, well, for all of us, we start off life disconnected. And the greatest moment in our life and the greatest decision we can make is when we recognize our need. We recognize the gift that Christ gave. And we begin to reconnect. Jesus said, let your light shine before people and let them to see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And we remember that every piece of light that shines, everything in our lives that can make a difference in the world around us, it all comes from a power source that is not our own. And so then we move to the second half of that verse. And that's the part I wanted us to talk about today. And so he has given us the task of bringing others back to him through Christ. So we are his agents of, some translations use the phrase reconciliation. Bringer backers, I guess if you were to use the New International Reader's version, you are a bringer backer. Or in the language that we're using with this series, we are a reconnector. That's not just what you're saved from. Here's what you're saved from. Want to see that? Here's what you're saved from. And what we are saved for is for connection with God and then to help others Make that connection as well. He's given us the task of bringing other people back to him through Christ. So what I hope we could just spend a few moments on is so, you know, how has God set you up? How has God set up your life to be a reconnector? Somebody that helps other people to reconnect with God. So I want to ask a few questions that may be helpful for you. And maybe you've encountered things like this before, but it's good. It's good, especially after a year like this past one where, for many of us, life kind of turned more inward. We needed to kind of adopt some sort of survival and emotional survival techniques to get through a really, really tough time. So it's important to come back even to some of these fundamental questions so we remember what life is really all about. So here's a good question to be asking yourself. What is something that you are naturally passionate about? What are the things you just cannot help but care about? Who here had a horse poster up in their bedroom when they were a teenager or lower? Yes! And some of you, you still have that horse poster stored somewhere, don't you? I can think of at least one local organization where a passion for horses and a passion for helping people can come together really, really well. That's what I'm talking about. So who here is just passionate about feeding people? Loves to feed people. My dear wife, she's going to put her hand up high. This is one thing that drives my honey and at the core. She loves to feed people. I can think of at least one. There is more than one, but I can think of at least one local ministry that might deserve your attention. For those of us who are passionate about families, who want to see families thrive and recognize that sometimes families go through hard times and just being there for people in those hard times can make a profound difference. There's at least one ministry in the valley that you should probably find out something more about. You should find yourself passionate about babies and moms. Oftentimes, that's God's call in your life. You know, sometimes the flip side of that can be true as well, the idea of what are the things that really bother you? Like, what gets under your skin? What are the injustices in the world that you're like, oh, somebody's got to do something about that? You know, oftentimes, when we take our complaint like that to the Lord, the reason why he's put such a passion in your heart around that issue of justice, because he's uniquely set you up to make a difference in that area. Second good question is, what does your life situation make possible? So maybe you're moving into retirement and you have greater degrees of discretionary time. You know, but it can also be a good thing to be thinking about when you're in those seasons of life where you have very little discretionary time. You know, you're that young parent and you're just raising a child, and just to remember that you know, God is intimately familiar with your life situation. So your family life, your job life, all of the things, God is intimately familiar with that situation. And wherever you are in life and whatever situation in life you find yourself to, he has also uniquely wired you to have ways that you can make a difference in those environments. So with where I am in life right now, with the time I have, with the resources I have, with the abilities that I have, with what I can do right now, Lord, how can I surrender those to you? So what's your unique life situation, and how does that factor into how you might serve? But it does. Thirdly, and this gets down to gifting as well, is what do others tell you that you are good at? What do others tell you that you are good at? Because oftentimes we can't actually see our own, at least our strengths. We don't see ourselves all that clearly. But the people around you, especially those who are around you and love the Lord and love you, They do. So ask them. It's one among a thousand reasons why it's good to be in some sort of a connection group or a life group or a, you know, a long-term group Bible study so you can just get to know one another well. It's why it's important to nurture and develop those Christian friendships, because it's going to be those people that will see your capacity in ways that often you can't. So what are the people around you? What do the people around you tell you that you are good at? Because the question that, it kind of gets me excited, gets my blood pumping in the morning, and gets me thinking about, you know, what it, and how grateful I am to be part of a local church is, you know, what could happen? What do you really think could happen in this world if each of us did our part? You know, sometimes people say, you know, I just really don't have a ministry, or especially like reconnection. I'm not a speaker. I'm not a communicator. Here's maybe a helpful way of thinking about some of that kind of stuff. Now, some of us are called to be communicating in larger numbers. You know, we're like an assembly line of reconnection. You know, we're just giving out the messages everywhere. And some, you know, with where you are in life, your primary, you know, connection with other people is just going to be with one or two or three or four. It's going to be a smaller circle that's based on personality, that's based on life situation, that's based on gifts and talents. But if you are given the choice between something that is factory produced on an assembly line and something that's custom built, which one has greater value? Oftentimes it's the custom built. So if you find yourself in a situation where you might be lamenting, oh, I'm not really good with lots of people, or just realize that you're a custom builder. God has given you unique gifts and passions and talents and abilities and resources to make a difference in this world. Just imagine what would happen if each one of us did our part of lights, you know, to use that metaphor, of people lighting up all over the place. There's plenty of big problems in the world. And you or me on our own, we are not strong enough or smart enough or resourceful enough to take care of all of it. There's no single-handed hero in the world. We don't even need one, because there already is one. But as you and I and we follow Christ, as we connect with him, we're spending time in the Word. We're spending time in prayer. We're getting honest with the Lord. And we seek him together on how he's wired us up individually and then collectively for service. Incredible things can happen. You know, one of the final words that Jesus said to his disciples before he went to the cross is that you'll do, as he's saying, you'll do some of the things that I did, but you'll do even greater things. You'll do even greater things. I remember when I first read that in the Bible, I was thinking, that isn't just nuts, because like I mean, I've never met somebody, and I certainly don't feel like I would ever be that person that could do all the things that Jesus did. You know, he fed 5,000 people, he walked on water, he healed the sick. I've seen signs of little things like that. I've seen little miracles like that. I've seen God do remarkable things in situations, but I can't do any of that. But that's not what Jesus meant. He didn't mean that you would do the things just like he did, only greater. He meant that we. Think right now of how many people on the planet right now have had their lives saved or extended by hospital care. Especially in the past year, I mean, access to hospitals is, it's just critical. Do you know where hospitals came from? Do you know who started the first hospitals? Do you know whose followers they were? Realize the hospital, even word for hospital, comes out of hospitality. Who taught us that? And as millions and billions of people followed Christ and followed his example, right now, in this moment, the very thing that Jesus said would happen is happening. Just imagine what can happen if all of us do our part. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you that you have met us in our places of disconnection. Lord, thank you that you did everything needed so that we could reconnect with you. Oh God, help us even in these moments, even with wherever we're coming from in life right now, help us to connect with you deeply this morning. And Lord, as we connect, thank you that you lead and guide, that you provide. That God, you have a plan for each and every one of us. Lord, I don't want to miss out on your plan for me. Lord, help each one of us to seek you for how you are calling us to serve, how you are calling us to be a reconnector in this world. Thank you that all of this is a gift, that all of it is from you. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.